Good. Well, as Ali mentioned earlier, this morning we're going to be starting a short series looking at the Old Testament book of Jonah. It's a short book, just four chapters, and you can find it in your Bibles in a section that groups what are called the minor prophets together. And it's in that section there. Minor prophets, not because the message that they carried and the message that they shared about God was anything less significant than other prophets, but just that these are shorter books of the prophets. So that's why they call them the minor prophets in the Bible, and Jonah is one of those books. And we're going to be reading in a moment Jonah chapter 1. But first of all, when I say that word Jonah, what immediately pops into your mind? A whale? A fish? That's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, the fish, the whale, has a very small part in this book, really. But I like to think, some of you may have seen the Toy Story movies. Pixar Animation make the Toy Story movies. There's one just about just being launched this week again. I often think, what would Pixar do if they got hold of this story of Jonah? What would Pixar make the central character? Well, they would probably make the great big fish the central character, the star of the show, wouldn't they? All of the merchandise and the posters and the things that you could buy would all be focused around the great big fish. Probably not even Jonah. It would all focus on the fish. But, of course, this is not so much a story of a big fish, but Jonah is a story of our big God, our great God. The central character is not the fish. The central character is not Jonah. The central character is God. God's redeeming work in Jonah's life and in the life of the city of Nineveh. And sadly for many people, this story is just lumped as a myth or a legend or a fable, something that you can't really believe. It's not something for us sophisticated adults. But of course, the truth is that actually these four chapters of the book of Jonah reveal to us an incredible truth about the grace and the mercy of God. Let's read from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. So at the end of our reading there, in verse 17, we find Jonah inside the belly of a fish. 3 days and 3 nights. And I said, some people are not comfortable with this story of Jonah because they just can't believe that a man could stay alive inside a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. They point out that would require a miracle. Well, wouldn't that be odd if we had a God who was Lord of the seas and the skies and the dry land, who was capable of the miraculous? The story of a little girl who was travelling home on a bus, and she was reading from a storybook, and her storybook was entitled Jonah and the Fish. And a man was sitting next to her as they travelled along, and he noticed how engrossed she was in reading this story. And eventually he couldn't resist it any longer, and he turned around to her and he said, "Do you believe that story?" And she said, "Yes, I do believe it. I do believe that Jonah was swallowed by a fish." He said, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And the little girl said, "Yes, I do. I do believe it's true." And he said, "Do you really believe that a man could be swallowed by a fish and stay alive for 3 days and 3 nights and still come out and survive?" And the little girl said, "Yes, this is the story in the Bible. And we studied it in Sunday school last week." So the man said, "Well, how can you prove that this story about Jonah is true?" And the little girl thought about it for a moment. She said, "When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." And the man smiled at that point because he got all superior. And he asked her, and he said to her, "Well, what will you do if Jonah's not in heaven?" And the little girl thought for a moment, and then she said, "Well, if he's not in heaven, then you can ask him." there we go. Fantastic. 3 days inside a fish. I wonder if you've ever thought what Jonah sat and thought about. We're actually going to be thinking a little bit about that next week. But I mean, there really was not much that he could do inside the belly of a fish, really, was there? Maybe he could have counted barnacles or something like that. And maybe he could have tidied up a bit, you know, got rid of some of the slime. Probably not much he could have done about the smell, though, but... This was time for thinking, wasn't it? And maybe he thought back to the time when he heard the voice of God calling him. Because that's how this book begins, doesn't it? We read it in verse 1. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. God is saying to Jonah, go to that great city of Nineveh. They're in a bad way. They're in a mess. They need help. I just can't ignore it any longer. And I want you to go to them. That's what God had said loud and clear to Jonah, just as clearly as I'm speaking to you now. And so straight away, Jonah is off. But not off to Nineveh. He is heading in completely the wrong direction. A map here of where it's likely that these places were. And you can see that Jonah is heading in the wrong direction. He was told to go to Nineveh, the great Assyrian city, a journey over land to the northeast from where he was. But instead, Jonah is packing his bags and heading to the west by sea. He's traveling the wrong way. He's going in the wrong direction. It would be like you or I being told to go to Newcastle and instead heading to the south of France. Maybe we'd rather go to the south of France than Newcastle. But this wasn't any kind of faulty sat-nav or anything like that. Jonah knows exactly what he's doing. He's running away from God. He's running away from the things that God wants for him. I wonder if you've ever done that. I wonder if you've ever run away from the things that God wants for you. I know I have. And maybe you, like me, can identify with Jonah a bit this morning. Why is Jonah running away? Well, Jonah's running away because he doesn't like what he hears from God. Now, Jonah was not normally the kind of man who would have ignored God. It says in verse 9, Jonah himself says, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah is a faithful man. He's a man who in the past had been used by God as a prophet. These are some words from 2 Kings that tell us a little bit about of the background of Jonah. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. And he reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah, God used Jonah to tell the people of Israel that they would recapture the territory from their enemies, the Assyrians, during the reign of Jeroboam II. And that's what happened. It's interesting also to note there that it says that Jonah was from Gath Hepher. That's in Galilee, just 3 miles northeast of Nazareth. 750 years before Jesus was born. 750 years before Jesus lived in that area. Jonah the prophet was there from that same area. Jonah had a good track record as a prophet. What God said through him was fulfilled. But when he gets this message to go to Nineveh, he decides that he doesn't like it. He doesn't want to do it. And so he runs away. Why should he go to the Assyrians? Why should he go to Nineveh? They were the enemy. They were nothing but troublemakers. They were hated. They had the biggest armies. They were the most powerful warlords around. When they went into battle, everyone else trembled. They were known for their brutality, these Assyrians in Nineveh. They were known for their ferocity. Everyone was in fear of them. This is a carving, and it's a picture of some Assyrian soldiers forcing a captive to grind the bones of his own family members. That's the kind of people they were. They would think of nothing of beheading people. They would think nothing of torturing people. They were notorious for their evil and their cruelty. And as Jonah heard God's message, he thought, why should I go to them? Why do they deserve a second chance from God? You know, if they're that wicked, they deserve everything that's coming to them. Why should I go to them? The most evil, the most wicked, the most cruel people around. You know, I wonder how many times we do that in our lives. When we know that God is calling us to something, calling us to something, but we say, actually, I'd rather not. I'd rather not. I don't really want to do that, Lord. Send someone else. That doesn't really fit into my plans. That really doesn't fit into my way of doing things. But God says, no, I want you to go. And one of the people that I trained with at Bible College was the pastor of a church in the south of England. And a lady in that church fellowship died. And in her will, she left the church £30,000. And that's what she left. But there was a condition put on the money, the use of the money. The condition was that it had to be spent by the church taking the gospel to a part of their local community that they had not reached before. And the leaders of that church thought long and hard about how they were going to use the money. You see, they were already doing schools work. They already had children's work and youth clubs. They also already had sorts of projects going on. But as a church, they prayed together, and it soon became clear to them as a church that the only community in their area that they had not reached out to was the traveller community. There were four traveller sites around that city, and they didn't have contacts with any of them. They didn't reach out to them at all. And this then became a real struggle for that church, because there were a significant number of people in that church who thought that the folk who lived on the traveller sites were actually no good. They were people who caused trouble. They were classed as criminals. No good would come of them. They were troublemakers. But you see, God had given that church £30,000 and told them to go. And so they kept on praying about it. Some people, no doubt, hoping that God would eventually say, no, you haven't got to go to the traveller site. But God didn't say that. And that came very clear to that church. That's exactly where they had to go. And they appointed a part-time worker, and within a few months they were given an old mobile library. They were given this library van, and that library van now goes in onto each of those sites every week. They go and they offer healthcare projects, they offer basic literacy classes, they provide counselling, and in the summer they have a children's club, a Bible club for the children from those traveller sites. All the children on those sites have now heard about Jesus in some way or another. And yes, it has been hard work for them, but bridges have been built. The love of Christ in action has been shown to them. Yes, it perhaps would have been easier for that church to walk away and say, oh no, that's not us. But God had a plan for them. When God asks Jonah to go to Nineveh, it does not fit in with what he wants. And so he's off in the opposite direction. And of course, Jonah knew that he was running away from God. He made that clear to the sailors that he was with. He knew exactly what he was doing. And of course, the great storm comes, doesn't it, threatens to sink the boat. And the sailors that Jonah is traveling with are afraid, and they take desperate measures to try and make the boat lighter, throwing the cargo overboard. You don't do that lightly. These were in trouble in this boat. And then they find Jonah asleep below deck. I kind of get the sense that he's trying to hide from God, actually, when he's doing that. But he just doesn't want to face up to the decision that he's made. Of course, he can't hide from God. God has a plan for his life. And when the sailors cast lots to find out who's responsible, the lot falls on Jonah. The way that they drew lots was kind of by pulling straws, really. And God even used that to point to Jonah. Even that wasn't going to help him. He said, no, I've got a plan for you. And so Jonah says to them, look, the only way out of this is for you to pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault. I know that this is why we're in the storm, because I'm running away from God. They do all they can, but eventually there's nothing for it, and Jonah is thrown overboard, and the raging sea becomes calm. You know, that had an impact on those sailors. Because they realized that God that Jonah worshipped was indeed the Lord of the land and the skies. Because, yes, it's quite common for the wind to die down suddenly, but the waves never die down suddenly. But here, we're told, the raging sea becomes calm, and they are safe. But Jonah is in the water. And Jonah is sinking down and down and deeper and deeper. And you know, sometimes I think when we read this story of Jonah, we get the impression that being swallowed by a great big fish was a big problem for Jonah. I mean, being inside the belly of a fish is not my top 10 of holiday destinations. But of course, the fish was not the danger for Jonah. The danger for Jonah was the water. If he'd have stayed in the water, he would have drowned. Full stop. It was the water that was threatening his life. He was going to drown. But the great fish was God's solution to that problem. God provided the fish to rescue Jonah, to save his life. God has stepped in to save Jonah. And that plan, that purpose for his life is not lost. Because you see, the God that we learn about through this book is a saving God, a redeeming God. The God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He saves Jonah despite the fact that he ran away from him. He saves the sailors in the boat despite the fact that they worshipped other gods. God has a message of salvation for the Assyrians in Nineveh. And over the next few weeks, we're going to see how this story unfolds, how God continues to use Jonah, and And despite his rebellion, how God's saving message is preached to the people of that great city. But this morning, let's just think about our own lives. What is God asking us to do? Where is God calling us to go? You know, maybe we've listened and we've heard and we've followed his will, and that's a cause to rejoice and to celebrate. Or perhaps we're running in the opposite direction. Running because we don't like what God is asking us to do. Running because we don't like what God is asking us to give up. Running because we don't like what God is asking us to let go of. Jonah tried to outrun God, but God's love for Jonah and God's love for the Assyrians in Nineveh would prevail. And God longs to bring us back to himself. You know, we thought about that a little bit last week, didn't we, in that story of the prodigal son and the father who welcomed the returning son home again. God longs to bring us back to himself. And we might think that God using a great big fish is incredible enough, but how about this for being incredible? How about God himself coming to save us? How incredible is that? Because you see, 750 years later, after Jonah was around, Jesus came from Galilee. And Jesus responded in obedience to that call to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom to all people. Jesus never once turned away from that, even proclaiming that truth to those who would hate him and reject him, even to the point of nailing him to a Roman cross. Jesus, who like Jonah, also once fell asleep in a boat. Jesus woke up and calmed the storm. But still, he gave his life for us. Jesus, who spent 3 days, 3 days not in the belly of a fish, but 3 days in the darkness of a tomb. But death had no hold on him, and he was raised to life. Jesus, who proclaimed forgiveness and freedom and hope for all who would listen to his message and respond. No border, no barrier, no nation, no class of people, no age of people, no background of people were excluded from his message of love and forgiveness and freedom. Let's not run away from God, but let's walk with God, the one who invites us to follow him in Jesus Christ. Let's walk the way that he has for us, a path of obedience, a path of discipleship, a path of following Jesus and all that he has for us. The life that he has promised to us. That gift of freedom and forgiveness and hope through his grace. Let's pray together. Lord, you know each one of us, and you know those times when we've run away from you. We might even be running right now. We've heard your voice calling us. We know what you have for us. We know the depth of your love for us, but still we turn away, seeking our own will and our own way. Well, please forgive us for that. But we thank you, Lord, that you never ever give up on us, just like you never gave up on Jonah. You prompt us into seeing your will for us. You put people in our paths who say the right words or offer the right encouragement to bring us back on track again. You speak to us through the most incredible ways, not least through your own Son, Jesus Christ, who you gave for us, who gave his life for us, so that we might know your life in us. Help us to follow the path you have for us, that path of Christ. Jesus, who said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Help us, Lord, if we're running away from that. Help us to turn. Help us to know all that you have for us. And Lord, forgive us when we think that there are those people who are beyond your reach, whether they be people in our own families, people we work with, certain areas of community around us here or in our country or in other countries of the world, Lord. Nineveh today is in Iraq. How would we feel if we were called by God to go and tell people in Iraq about Jesus? Would we run from it? Lord, your promise is to equip us to reach out with your message, your good news, to all those around us. Help us to do that today as we welcome neighbours amongst us. But then help us to do it through the rest of the week as well, wherever we go, to share your good news and the hope that is found in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. 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 We're going to...